everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast, to a brand new year. Happy 2026. I had to double check that it was 2026 because when I was typing in the year for the sermon, you know, it's January 4th. Should have been 2026. I wrote 2022.
Stuck in the past.
I don't know why 2020. I have no excuse for 2022. Like, but
yeah, it wasn't like the year you got married or anything.
Nothing,
you
know? Like that. It was just whatever reason 2022 came up. So hopefully you all are no longer living in 2022 mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But welcome to the new year. This is the Deeper Podcast. In case you're new here, in case you're just starting with us or it's been a while, this is where Pastor Dan and I come, and we come here pretty much every week if we're able to, and we sit and we talk about the sermon from the last week. It gives us an opportunity to go a little bit deeper, sometimes on cultural, historical, linguistic issues. Oftentimes, I've got questions raised by points of the sermon, so it's a chance for us to go a little bit deeper into that. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, we love having listener questions. We've had a few of those. So if you have any questions about sermons or the context, what have you, just shoot me an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. And we'll make sure that we talk about that in our next sermon. Or next sermon, next deeper. Maybe, who knows, if it's a really good question.
Make no promises there.
No promises there. Dan, are you like a New Year's resolution kind of guy?
Have you done that? Not to the extent of, like, I think of some things, but I'm not like very clearly like 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think maybe I should be better about goal setting. I feel like my wife Liz is much better about that. She has goals for this or that. I'm trying to maybe incorporate, but I was just listening to a goals podcast, you know, like,
okay.
So I'm like, all right, maybe that'll give me some ideas for various things. So I am really not a great example for, like, all right, this year I want to do these things.
Yeah. Well, maybe your New Year's resolution could be to have a resolution next year.
And
it gives you a whole year to prepare for it.
That's right. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think you could do this.
I'm kind of similar. I'm not like these specific goals, but I like to keep things a little more general. It's like, I want to go to the gym more often this year, you know, because then I'm not like, oh man, I missed 1 week. Done. Yeah. It's just like, okay, you know, give myself space for it. If you guys had any interesting New Year's resolutions or ones that you want to share with us, again, feel free to send those in. That'd be awesome. We'd love to hear it and pray along with you as you try and accomplish those. One more kind of end of year question, Dan, because, you know, it's every single podcast that I listen to the last like 2 weeks has been like a highlights of 2025 and whatnot.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of good content over the last year. And so I'm wondering, if you had to pick, and you know, I know this might, as the pastor, be almost like picking your favorite child, but what was your favorite sermon series we did this year and why?
I know I was saying to Austin that you start thinking back to like a year ago, you're like, oh, what was I doing for a sermon series back then? But, staying somewhat recent, I did really enjoy the series on James we went through, earlier or kind of in the fall of 2025. Just seemed like that really resonated a lot with our congregation. There's just a very practical side to James, of course, kind of comes right at you. But yeah, to spend time with it, go through it, it just felt like there was a lot of good things the Lord was bringing about through that. I did enjoy it. It's kind of a lighter connected series, but in the summer we did kind of a clothing series. And I thought that actually came together really well and was enjoyable through the summer season to kind of go in and out. And we kind of reconnected a little bit with that around Christmas time and the swaddling clothes. And so, yeah, a little different type of one. But I did really enjoy that James series.
Man, that James one. If you've listened to us at all during the James series, you know that James was my favorite one of the year. Phenomenal, so practical, very good. But we can't live in the past, Dan.
That's right.
We must. Time, you know, there is a time for everything.
That's right.
So what did we talk about this last week?
Yeah. So obviously it was the first Sunday of the new year, and we were talking about, you know, we have some series plan coming up and some people still coming back from Christmas break. And we said, you know what? It'd be fitting to do something connecting with coming out of 1 year, coming into another. So what better place to go than Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything, as Austin was just saying. And there's that wonderful poem there in verses 2 through 8, but it's helpful to get a little more context surrounding that, which sometimes books like Ecclesiastes, it's like, where do you begin and where do you stop? That kind of flows together. But we did verses 1 to 15 and kind of seeing what you know, the teacher's trying to bring through here about this wonderful poem about time that's so familiar to many people, but teaching us about our relationship with time. And as much as we try to control it, we can't. And being reminded that God is the determiner of time. And as we said, just even in brief, that doesn't mean, well, who cares what we do then? It just has no effect. That's not what's being said there. But it is this overall realization. We're not God, and we don't control the times and things like that. And then, yeah, trying to have that balance of there's this promise that comes with it. You know, God promises he's going to make all things beautiful. We can take comfort in that, but it's also hard. The same verse even says, you know, God's kind of, he's put eternity in our hearts, and that's kind of clouded our vision of what he's doing. And we struggle with that. And as we go through the toil of life, sometimes we really, like, what's the point? We don't see it. What's going on? And so I wanted to really speak into that tension because, yeah, I'm looking out at a congregation, people who are listening here, been through a lot of things in the past year, and ups and downs, right? And some things you say, oh, that was beautiful, that timing. And others, it's more like, what was that? And what's going on here? And I think the wisdom of that passage speaks right into our lives. And just there's struggle, there's also rejoicing, and also this push to, all right, trust in the Lord. Let's trust in him. But let's, yeah, be honest about it. It's not always easy to do that. There is a wrestling that comes with it. And then we try to just think together then, well, how do we live wisely or more wisely, make a New Year's resolution to do so in the times we're given, given that we don't control these things, God does. He's not always easy to deal with, but he makes these promises. And so we just talked about a few things kind of even arising out of those verses to think about. How can we live more wisely with the time God has placed us in?
Yeah, which is, again, so good because we're all in that contemplative mode usually at the end of the year, at the start of the year. So really appreciated a lot of it. I did have a few questions and things I noticed. And one theme that was actually, I read through the whole chapter. Mm-hmm. Again, it is really difficult sometimes in Ephesians to know where do you start and end. But I was reading through what the chapter has in that chapter. And I noticed one theme kind of popped up once in the verses that we read and once at the very end of the chapter. And they, I felt, were pretty appropriate. So I figured I'm going to just refresh our memory on it. It's verse 13 and 22. Verse 13 says that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil, for this is the gift of God. And then in 22, so I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? In both of these verses, Solomon is like, it's good to find satisfaction in your work, which is, that's great. I mean, if you're in your working years, you haven't retired yet, you're, you know, not still in school, this is probably the thing you spend the most time doing other than sleeping. And for many of us, more than sleeping. So it is really important and good if you can, you know, find joy in your work. But I have been in places in my past, and I know from looking around and talking to people, oftentimes we're not in a place where we are finding joy and satisfaction and meaning in our labor. It's something we do because we have to do it, because we have to pay the bills, but there's nothing, you know, one of the things that I go back to is I was looking at, you know, my experience. I spent about a year during my college time working at a factory, and I was a riveter, but not like a Rosie the Riveter, like doing cool things, climbing buildings. I took two pieces of metal, put them on a machine, hit a button, took them off the machine, and slid them down to the next one. And I did that for, you know, 8 hours a day.
Yeah, over and over.
That was not something that I found joy or meaning.
Would you say it wasn't riveting?
It was not riveting. That's good. I love it. I love it. See, your New Year's resolution should be more puns.
Right.
Always.
Yeah, that maybe isn't a good one for me.
I think it's a great one. But no, it wasn't riveting. Yeah. It wasn't something that I found a lot of meaning and significance in. And so for those of us who are in a place potentially where, you know, our labor, we see some meaning to it. It pays the bills. It takes care of the family. But we are not finding joy or meaning in it. What encouragement or instruction can we pull from Scripture to help with that?
Mm-hmm. There's so much here, Austin. I'm trying to, in my head, just not get too far afield. But part of me is like, yeah, you can tell Solomon was given wisdom and the Spirit was at work as he's writing these. Because even in the way he writes those sentences, he uses the word toil to talk about these things, which implies like,
oh, it's hard.
Not very much fun. Yeah. And then he says, hey, you're going to enjoy it too. And so there's that like tension already built in just in that phrase. Like, how do you enjoy toil? Right? I think he's getting at the struggle. Like, and go back to Genesis, and this is the struggle. We're made to work. We see that in Genesis 2, like work the garden, but then our work is cursed because of sin. And so there's something that's supposed to be a joy for us, part of who we are, that's not, right? It's a struggle. It's toil. So I think that reality that Austin's speaking of, even if I love what I do, and I do love pastoring, like there's always times where you're like, you feel that toil side of things. And so that's a very real deal. And there's also kind of two levels I think he's speaking on here. One is just the big picture, like the toil of human life. Like we're always, even if you're retired, you're listening, we're still working at life, right? And just going through that, there's always stuff going on. And then there's the specific employment side of things. You know, I need to do this work. I'm a farmer. I'm a riveter. I'm whatever. I'm doing these things. And there's income that comes with it. It's the way God provides for me and my family. So there's those, both those levels of, I guess you can call it toil. And I think really some of what Solomon's getting at in these words is to be able to enjoy that. In the context of Ecclesiastes 3, we have to understand and say, like, this is what it is in this moment. I need to work. I'm working right now as a riveter. I hope I'm not doing this in 5 years, but right now this is what I'm doing. Because if you start getting like, am I going to be doing this 5 years from now? You're really not going to enjoy it. If you're like, man, my job before this was way better. I wish I could go back. You're also not going to have any joy. So in the context of the time piece is one is, again, right, this is where God has me now. I need to pour into this and to think about his purpose. So interesting. Last night, we had a group of guys get together. We were talking about time things, too, like not hurrying, how to use our time well. Someone there who's really, I would say, God's doing some work in his life, right? He's considering, you know, the gospel. He's going into scriptures for the first time. It was great that he was part of the conversation, but just was expressing that some of how he's gotten to this point, I don't really like my job right now, he was saying, but the people that have been in my path have got me thinking about these things, right? And so you think about, as a Christian, some of these men and women maybe that he was running across, they also might be having bad days or maybe don't like their job, but to think like, what's my purpose here? Maybe I'm meeting some people and I can show the way of the Lord in this, right? Even if I'm just kind of feel like a cog in the wheel right now, right? And I'm just doing that. God still has a purpose in this. What is that? And exploring that with him. And again, trying to be present, as we'll talk about too in that, and see what's he have in store. And I think in Solomon's wisdom, it's like when we start being like, oh, there's nothing here. I just hope something better's coming in the future. Well, you're not going to have any joy there. You're not going to enjoy however long that season is because you're trying to get out of it. And you're not looking for any purpose that God might be doing. I mean, other words in scripture, reminder too, like, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And Paul sometimes is writing to people who are enslaved in the times he's writing, or slaves that were part of the churches. And he's saying to them, he's not necessarily saying, oh, that's a great thing, this whole system here.
Right.
But he's saying, if that's where you are right now, you know, serve in the way of Christ, right? You know, don't be disobeying your masters just because you like, this shouldn't be happening or something. You know, be a good servant. Live that way. If you are this position, right, do it well. If you are a master, you know, treat your slaves in this way. And so that reminder that it's not necessarily about what we're doing, but how we do it as well. And if we go about it in God's way, and that's what I think in verse 12, Solomon says, we go about trying to enjoy things, but while doing that, doing good. And in our work, that's part of that. Like, how do I live as Christ man or woman in my job? Even if I would very much like for a different opportunity to come along, I hope the season isn't super long. What's in it for me now, right?
Yeah.
That's God's purpose there.
Oh, I love that. And that actually really ties in and is very applicable to what was going to be my next question, because we talked a bit about living in the moment and how part of living wisely in the times we're in is done well by enjoying God's gifts and living his way. And we talked a little bit about living in the moment, and it was one of those things that, again, you hear a lot of conversation about. A lot of New Year's resolutions, yeah, I'm going to live a lot more in the moment this year.
Present.
Going to be more present this year, which is really good. That's admirable. We need to work towards that. But that's so easy to say. And then it's like, okay, well, actually, what do I do to make sure I am living better in the moment? So I guess that would kind of be my question for you here, Dan, is like, how can I make sure that I'm being intentional about truly living in the moment that I'm in? Not like, again, wanting to be elsewhere or whatnot. And then also along with that, just want to tack on, how do I make sure that, like, I'm not worrying so much about living in the moment that I'm not living in the moment?
Right. No, it's a good question. I'll say that it could be a little bit different for anybody who's listening, for Austin and me. And so I would say a good question to ask anybody, you know, ask myself, is what is it that distracts me from the moment, right? If I'm talking to my kids, what is it that would have me not be there with them? Is it my phone and scrolling through stuff on there? Well, I need to address that then, if that's what's keeping me from being in the moment. Is it just kind of this more, kind of philosophical, like we said, like I'm always thinking about, oh, what's coming next? I'm so anxious about what's going to be happening that I can't focus. Well, then maybe I need to think about, all right, why am I thinking about those things? And why am I always looking ahead, you know, worried about, oh, you know, what is this is going to change? This is great right now, but what, you know, it's going to be different. Or if I'm, you know, I use this example in worship, I can get so stuck thinking about the past. Oh, it was great when we sang songs like this that I'm not present with the Lord in worship there. So that in Solomon's context, right, that past, future, we have eternity in our hearts and we just want to look everywhere, but we need to really look in the present moment. But I think practically it is, what is it that takes you away from that? You know, if it is, you know, I'm at my work and I want to be present there. Well, what is it that would make you not? Is it some of my own desires? Like, I'm just thinking about, I could be making more money. I could be happier. Is it these dreams? I mean, sometimes we daydream, right? And it's these things like, oh, I wish I was this way. That's usually what my daydreams are. I'm a superstar athlete, you know. I'm the greatest surfer in the world. I'm, you know, whatever. I fill in the blank, right? What's that? Mm. You know, again, that's not enjoying who I am or where God's placed me. But that might give a window into, all right, what do I need to address so that I can be more present? And yeah, to Austin's second piece there, right? We can become obsessed. That's a certain personality of us, right? Like, all right, I need to be present, and we're so like. You're sitting there talking to Austin and I are talking. I'm still thinking, like, how can I be present here that I'm not present, right? So
it's a real thing.
Some of that comes with, you know, not overthinking it probably. And we're never going to do it perfectly. We do have to think some about, I need to learn from the past. I need to prepare for the future. It's just not being so extreme, right? The poem gives really kind of the two extremes usually in the poem, right? You have birth and death. You have planting and uprooting. Well, there's lots of things in between there. It's when all I can think about is planting. That's all I can, you know, like, oh, we're going to be playing with something. Or all I can think about is uprooting. Or I'm just stuck in grief. That's all I'm in. Or I'm rejoicing all the time. Like, there's a whole span of life there. And that's, I think, what it gets at, that we're going to be in these different moments. Sometimes I am going to be thinking about what's next. Sometimes I'm going to be looking back at things. But we have to be, you know, as I think we're maybe going to next. All right, where's the Lord leading? How do we move with him in more rhythmic dance than fighting against it?
Well, and that's, again, it's you're so good at these transitions. It's almost like you've done a sermon on this.
I also know where Austin's going music. So.
But yeah, so we do get in these times where it's like, okay, you know, we are needing to learn how to dance. And I love that phrase, you know, dance with the Lord on this, because we're constantly moving to, you know, in different beats, different tempos, different seasons is what we talked a lot about. And we talked a bit about learning to, you know, it's in order to be living well in the moment and be living well in the knowledge of God's control of the moment, we need to be able to accept the seasons that we're in. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, like a lot of these things, that's really, it's like, especially when things are going good, it's like, great, I am in a season of green pastures right now. Like, things are going well. But when we enter a harder season, I think it can get really hard to even understand the concept of accepting a season. Mm-hmm. Because with that comes the idea of, it's like, well, I guess I'm going to just let, you know, let go and let God is a phrase that comes out a lot. Or, you know, I'm just, you know, I have no agency over any of this, so why bother changing it? Mm-hmm. So how should we better understand that idea of accepting a season of struggle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some are probably easier than others. I have kids that are, you know, getting into middle school age now. And I mean, some of that you just realize, like, I can't keep them at any certain age, right? That goes along. But you do have to accept, you know, well, okay, we're not in the diaper stage anymore. They're not toddlers. They're not students. And like others are listening, like, oh, they're in high school. They're driving. Now they're out of the house, right? And it's not always easy to go with that flow. You sometimes like, oh, I really enjoyed this season. And that, of course, can be with our health. It can be with our work. It can be different relationships, too. And it is, we know this about life. There's always these transitions, but it's sometimes hard. I think especially hard, and maybe this gets at where the acceptance, when I have laid out a vision. We just talked about resolutions for the year. This is how it's going to go. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the path's going over here. That's when it's really hard for me. Like, no, let's get it back over here.
Hammer that back in.
So I think some of the acceptance, and to say this, it's usually not just one moment. Mm-hmm. Often when we see, it takes some time to see like God's taking us this way. Not where we plan, maybe not what I wanted, but things are going. And over time, it sometimes takes, sometimes things happen in the blink of an eye, right? You have an injury, something comes on. But other times it's like, oh, okay, it seems like, and it takes that time to wrestle with the Lord, to see where it's going. It's not just a fatalistic giving up, but it is that, okay, things are going this way. It seems like my job's going to be changing. I kind of love doing this, but the company's changed, or my needs and abilities have changed. So, all right, now how do I be in this, right? It doesn't mean I don't work hard, or but what's this going to be? What's God doing in that? I think that's more the accepting, always keeping in mind, like we talked about with the work things, what's God's purpose in this? If he's the determiner of time, going back to the passage, that means he has purpose in this. He's putting puzzle pieces together, to use that metaphor. So we can always be looking, yes, I need to accept that my body doesn't work like it did 20 years ago. I can't just do certain things that I used to do. And I have to. But what's God's purpose in that now? Maybe my mind's, I understand things better. You know, maybe I can work through that. Maybe as you come to retirement, right, it's hard to accept like, oh, man, I think I figured so much things out and now I can't do certain things physically as much. But like you have a resource of time now. Maybe like you didn't when you were working full time. What's God's purpose for you in that, right? And how does that relate to your life now? So I would say that acceptance comes with working to see God's purpose in the different seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the suffering part, that's not something I would come to you and say, you lost a loved one. I'd be like, I wonder what God's purpose is, right? Understandably, that's not where we're going right away.
No.
But over time, as we said, you know, starting to think like, all right, what is God doing? What does he have? I get the privilege of being in the position of pastor and seeing people go through seasons and seeing some of that. And I think they probably do too, although some probably don't even realize it. We've had people here, previous churches I've been in, who have had hard losses. They're grieving and that grief can go on. And yet over time, you see them start to lean into maybe a new thing they can do for others because of what they've gone through and caring for others, right? And so I've seen people who have had tough losses, and then someone else goes through it 5 years later, and there they are, walking with those people in their grief, certainly able to say words that are going to be appreciated and heard. And so in the moment, it's really hard to accept and see. In hindsight, and especially when you're from the outside, you can see, man, God is working. He's turning something that's not good, you know, a loss in this life, into something that is, you can see more of the beauty.
Yeah.
You can see it coming together.
Yeah.
We don't see it all. And that's why I think we need each other too. My brother, Pastor Eric, was reminding me too, you know, as you go to chapter 4, he talks about the cord of three strands, and we do this in community as well, because we need each other. We need that strength. It's a reflection of how God is, Father, Son, and Spirit. So I think if you're in a season right now, you've had loss, you've had grief. First of all, I think the passage says, yeah, we live into that, right? It is appropriate to grieve. It's appropriate to wrestle with those things. And in the meantime, even under that, is trusting in the Lord. And he's doing something here. And we're trusting he has purpose. And I think as we go along, sometimes on the outside, it's easier for someone like myself to see it. But there is purpose in what God's doing. That's the promise of it too. So,
yeah.
I think it's that.
Oh, absolutely. No, that was really good. Thank you. With our new year comes a new start. You know, there's a time for everything. And right now we're in a time for starting a new season here at church. So, Dan, what, like the 50,000 foot view, what are we looking at for 2026?
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking sermon-wise, right?
Yes, sermon-wise, we'll say for now. Yeah. We'll have a special episode where we just look at the entire world.
Right. Just a five-minuter.
Just 5 minutes.
sermon-wise, so the way Easter falls this year, it's pretty early, April 5th. And so
crazier.
We were just looking at the calendar, planning things. It's like, oh, Lent is in February. It starts, right? And so it comes up pretty quickly. So this past year was the 1700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed first being formulated. And so the next several weeks, we're going to think about that creed, the statement of faith that spans really the entire church. And just, you know, get into it. This next week will be a little bit of maybe the history of how this came together and then thinking why it's important to pass the faith on to each other. Is that's what this is for, really. And then getting into a little bit, what does this say about the Father and about the Son and about the Spirit and the Church, those kind of things. So that's kind of where we're going to go initially. And then as we turn to Lent, we're thinking about the wilderness as a theme there, and specifically in the Gospels when Jesus, after his baptism, goes into the wilderness and faces those temptations. And part of its understanding, Jesus does what we could not in overcoming those things, but then also we face similar temptations and confessing our stumblings before the Lord, but also seeking his strength to overcome them. And so that's kind of what we're looking at as we go to Lent and then push toward Easter there in April. And as we talked about, we didn't really nail very specifically down for post-Easter yet.
So you don't have a firm plan for what's happening.
We talked about some things.
4 months down the road.
I mean, I think we'd really like to tie in maybe using something probably from the Old Testament to tie into some current issues, things that are going on too. You know, you get these events regarding like how do we live, you know, whether that's, for instance, our sexuality or thinking about our stuff or and things like our human life, things like that. And so it could be maybe there's tie in with the commandments or certainly the minor prophets can get into that. So we've been looking into something like that kind of April, May. And the summer we've often liked to do something visual, right? We said the clothing series, we've done like water in the Bible. We've done trees, kind of plant like, you know, to kind of had this theme that you could tie in. So we've been looking at some different things like mountains. There's lots of important mountains in scripture or something like that. So we will see where it goes. We still got to talk with our worship team and get some more details together. But we're always looking out ahead and, you know, we'd be okay too if the Lord said, hey, this year I'm going to come back and you won't have to worry about that.
Listen, name it and claim it, Dan.
That's right. So we'll keep praying that way too.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Happy 2026. Hope you had a wonderful new year. We will see you all next time.